I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to Beekeeping for Newbies, episode 8. Today, we are going to talk all about hive inspections. So this should be your number one inspection. First time, rookie season. So good stuff coming your way. First off, I want to say a big thank you. I've had a lot of people reach out by email and the contact us on the website. And I thank you for your questions because it's a lot of fun to kind of lend a hand and help folks get pointed in the right direction and to also kind of hear the stories. I've gotten some pretty cool emails from people who are doing different and fun and unusual things and how they've gotten into beekeeping and lots of good stories. So I appreciate the feedback. Okay, so today we're going to talk about a couple of things. Kind of run through the agenda here so you kind of know what's coming. We're going to talk about the kind of some do's and don'ts around inspections in general, right? We're going to go through, you know, what you need to do, what you need to have ready, and how you need to do an inspection, just generically speaking, every time you go to open the hive. And then we'll get into some specifics around what you're going to need to do on this very first inspection. And this is going to apply to whether you have a nucleus colony, package bees, first season, fifth season, the rules aren't going to change. So with that, let's go ahead and jump in and get started. So you've had your bees in place now, whether it's a package bee colony or a nuke. You've had them in place now for maybe a week, 10 days or so. You might be thinking about this weekend doing your first inspection, or hopefully within the next couple of weeks, you're going to have your new colony at home. You'll follow the procedures we talked about in the last episode, get everything installed. So between then and now, I'm hoping that you had a chance to get outside and just, you know, have a seat, grab a chair, sit down in front of them, watch them coming in and out, watching them do their thing. And I know there's some apprehension here. I distinctly remember that a feeling that was weighing on me when I was coming up on like day 6, 7, 8, where I knew that I had the obligation to do an inspection on this colony, but I really didn't know what I was doing. I was nervous, and it's nerve-wracking because it's a new thing, and anybody who is brand new to beekeeping and isn't a little bit scared of the idea of getting stung, they're probably not exactly right. So you recognize it's time. Time is at hand. You got to get the inspection done. So what are you going to do? Now, I will tell you one thing. I know I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but I'm going to go ahead and reiterate this one. You're going to use smoke. Like I mentioned before, this one guy I know swore up and down, no, you should never smoke the bees. It's bad for them. It reduces their productivity and blah, 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 blah. You're going to use smoke. It makes a world of difference. I have been inside of massive colonies, very, very large colonies, and just a couple of puffs of smoke here and there is enough to keep them calm and allow you to do what you need to do. If you don't do that and they set off that alarm and that alarm pheromone gets propagated through that colony, it's going to be really, really uncomfortable. And I can tell you, especially, you know, if you're trying to get your kids or, a young person involved with this at the same time as you're doing it, all it takes is one sting, especially for a kid. As an adult, it'll kind of mess you up a little bit, but one sting for a child, and that can really ruin things. So just use the smoke. Now, a few things that I want to just kind of put out as pretty generic, and these are going to apply to any inspections, anytime, just things, kind of best practices around planning your inspection. So number one, I'll say on the list is to think about weather. Early in the season, we want to see our bees. We want to know how they overwintered. We want to know how many of them are still in the colony. Are they thriving? Are they starving? I would say exercise a little bit of caution doing early season inspections. I mentioned this before about how they propolize. They use propolis to seal all the cracks around the hive. And then as you separate those hive bodies, you can leave cracks behind that they can't really reseal if it's still cold. They just, you know, they're trying to stay in the cluster to stay warm. And then you might cause some problems. What I have done actually is taken like that foil duct tape. And if I've had to separate a colony when I know it's still going to be cold and I know that there might be some cracks there, I just put a row or two of that around that crack. And that's good enough to hold it together for another month or so until things warm up. But you want to be mindful of the weather and the temperature and things. Because remember, the bees inside that cluster keep it nice and warm inside there. And when it's still cooler outside, it really has a big impact on them. In general, you'll see the bees flying at about 48, 49, 50 degrees, somewhere in there. I typically don't open the colonies unless really I like to see about 70 degrees or more. I've done them cooler. I've done them in 60, 65. Sometimes, you know, you got to do it. The inspection's got to get done. You got to get in there and see how things are going. But really, if you can get it up to about 70 degrees, that's probably even better. The things that are probably almost more important or equally as important, I would say, is to not consider doing an inspection in the rain. Or if you know that you've got rain coming in the next half hour or so, put the inspection off to the next day or later in the day. You know, overcast is fine. Nice, hot, sunny day, no problem. Rainy day, bad news. You're going to have a very unhappy colony on your hands. And the other thing that's bad too is, I know like with people, if you have somebody who has like an injury, like a cold weather injury, they're outside and they fall into a frozen lake or something like that, you lose body heat like 25 times more when you're soaking wet. It's a very similar kind of thing for bees. A wet bee is a dead bee. If they're wet and cold, they're going to die. So don't let the entire inside of the colony get exposed to rain. If you can keep that closed up and just reserve that inspection for a sunny or at least a non-rainy day, the bees will thank you for that. Another thing to consider is how you're actually going to physically interact with the hive components. Now, think about the idea of the bees being in like a hollowed out tree in the middle of the forest, and a bear decides they want to climb that tree and try to, shake the tree down, bust it open, and get to the honey. For bees, they recognize and can sense and feel movement, vibrations, things like that. So as you are interacting with the various pieces of and components of the hive, as you're doing your inspection, try to be mindful of being kind of slow and methodical and just gentle. There's no hurry. You don't have anywhere you got to be. If you have somewhere you have to be, then postpone the inspection until you're done with whatever that is, right? Take your time. It's not a race. The bees are going to be fine. If you have the colony in the hive and everything opened up for an hour, it's going to be all right. Ideally, I like to try and keep my inspections to like the 10 to 15 minute range, but as a hobbyist kind of thing. But if it's longer, it's going to be okay. But if you go outside that hive and you just take a fist and just start tapping on the side of it, shake it around a little bit, I promise you, they're going to come out and they're going to start looking to see what's going on. And they may kind of start buzzing you a little bit and letting you know that your activity is not welcome. But if you can get into the hive and you can just be very gentle and, like I said, be methodical about what you're doing and taking your time, just a couple of puffs of smoke here and there, do your thing. And in general, you shouldn't have a whole lot of trouble. The things I would say that they are particularly sensitive to is going to be, in general, kind of, bumping into the hive, or as you're separating, particularly like the outer cover, as you're separating that, sometimes it'll make kind of a loud cracking sound. It almost sounds like wood cracking or splitting. That can kind of make them, move a little bit. And you'll actually hear it. You'll pull the top off and you'll hear a little bit of buzzing. Just hit a couple of puffs of smoke and keep on going. And you'll learn to use your hive tool and how to use it and what you need to do in order to kind of be more efficient about your inspections. The other thing that I think is very common, I've done it a few times before too, is as you're removing a frame, you get it up about, a third or maybe halfway, and it slips a little bit and drops right back down. That movement and that action in and of itself is pretty disruptive. Quite often there are bees on the edges that are walking around, and you're going to crush, three or four bees on each side. They know that their friends know that they've gotten killed and they're not real pleased about it. So that's another thing that can happen. One thing that I did that I would highly encourage and recommend that you do is to do an inspection on the colony before you actually install it in the hardware, or if you have extra hardware available, put it all together in your garage or in your driveway or wherever you have it, and just walk through the process just like you would if it was full of bees, and get used to everything. In a minute here, we'll go ahead and we'll go through kind of those steps and details and what that looks like. But remember, vibration and noise, and just try to keep everything nice and calm when you're going through your inspection. Okay, the actual inspection itself. Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty. So the first thing you do is you're going to come up, you're going to approach the hive, a couple of puffs of smoke near the front entrance. Now, there are different people who have different schools of thought on how much time you should wait, how much smoke you should use, all of that. I will go up and I'll just usually do two or three puffs by the front door, and then I walk around to the side. I give it maybe 5 or 6 seconds. Really, all I do during the time that I'm delaying is I look around the back and the bottom and the sides of the hive stand itself. I'm just looking for any spider webs or anything that's around there that could possibly mess with the bees or maybe just doesn't belong. By the time I've done that, I go to the outer cover. Now, particularly if you're doing a first inspection of the season, you'll want to be thinking about how stuck this outer cover might be. But if this has just been in place for 1 week, this is your first inspection, it shouldn't be too hard. But go ahead and just remove the outer cover. What you can do if you need to is if you have a telescoping lid, or it's a lid that kind of goes over the top and then around the edges, you can actually just wedge your hive tool slightly, you know, up under that lip that's hanging over, and then just push up with it. And that'll help to lift the cover off. And then once you do, I take the cover and I set it down right next to me, because as I'm removing things, I set them on top of the cover so that I don't have to set them on the ground. You definitely do not want to set these components down onto the ground, because the ground's going to have, you know, grass, pine needles, you know, whatever is in your yard is on the ground. And these pieces and parts are all covered in propolis. They're very sticky. You set them on the ground and then you try to bring them back up and put them on top of the other hive bodies and components, and you've got all kinds of crap hanging out everywhere. You don't want to deal with that. So if for some reason you don't like putting them down onto that outer cover, figure something else out. Get a piece of plywood, maybe a small cart, or whatever works for you, but just have something available that you can use. So I flip the outer cover over, I set that down. Now for the inner cover, I use two different types. I have a cloth inner cover that I learned about this from the University of Guelph up in Canada. I think his name is Paul Kelly from the University of Guelph. Great videos on YouTube if you have the time, the opportunity. Highly recommend them. Very, very sharp group of people up there. But they get these pieces of cloth. And if somebody's looking for the cloth and trying to track it down, shoot me an email. I can get you a link. I just don't remember off the top of my head. But basically, I lay the nukes on top of it. I just set them on top of it. I take a pin and draw around it, and then I just cut it out. And these cloth inner covers are great. I've been using them now for a couple of years. They work really, really well. When they get funky and nasty, you just crumble it up, throw it away. No big deal. You could probably, I didn't even think about this, but you could cut it into little pieces, add it in a smoker fuel, and use it for that. That works really, really well. If you don't want to use that, you can still use a standard wooden inner cover. Nothing wrong with that either. So now you remove the inner cover, you set that off to the side, and you are looking at, let's just say as an example, you have a 10-frame Langstroth hive, and you've got, again, whether it was a package of bees or whether it was a nucleus colony, you're kind of in the same situation, but we are going to talk about the differences, and I'll divide those up right now, but the process is the same. One thing I would recommend is as you remove the frames, you definitely want to make sure you're not setting them down on the ground. Now, I will set them on, depending on the stand I'm using, sometimes I can just set them next to the colony and just lean them against the hive body itself, and that works fine. Figure out something that works for you. You can bring an extra nuke with you, and you can take out the frame, look at it, and set it into the nuke. You know, whatever works. One thing I've used for years when I was first starting out, I don't really use them much anymore, but I still think they're really good, is a frame hanger. So as soon as you open everything up, you set the frame hanger on the edge, on the long edge of the hive, and then as you're pulling frames out, you look at them, and you set them into the hanger. And then you go through the hive, and then when you're done, you put them back. You just want to make sure you're putting everything back in the same order that it was when you took it out. So when you're doing your actual inspection, what I would say is, let's just start with the package of bees. If it's a package of bees, you're going to basically go right to the middle. Go to like frames 5 and 6. Use your hive tool in the top and just kind of wedge the frames aside left and right and take out the middle frame. And what you're looking for is a few things. Ideally, somewhere in there you had your queen cage. So you want to remove the queen cage and make sure that your queen was released. She should be out of the cage and inside the hive doing her thing. But recover the queen cage and go ahead and get that out. And what you can do is there might be 4, 5, 20, whatever bees on it. Just take it out and set it down right by the entrance. The bees will start walking around and they'll just walk back in the hive. Everything's fine. Now, what you're going to look for is you want to see drawn comb. You want to see, hopefully, in some areas where maybe they're storing some nectar, storing some pollen. But the most important thing is you would love to see the queen. Ideal scenario, you're seeing the queen. You're physically putting your eyes, you know, you're looking at her and you're like, boom, there's the queen. Now, this is not always the easiest thing to do, but that's what you ideally want. The next best thing is you want to look for eggs. There are times where there's just a bunch of bees everywhere. The queens, especially these younger, you know, queens that have just recently been mated, they're a little bit more skittish sometimes, and they'll hide behind corners and go around the frames. And as you're looking at them, they're ducking around the other side. Some of them can be pretty elusive. What you want to do is look inside the cells near the middle, because the middle of the hive and the middle of the frames are typically where they're going to be laying first. And you're going to want to look for just what looks like little pieces of rice inside the cells. If you see a bunch of those all through the frame and the comb is all drawn out and the bees are, you know, workers are moving through those areas, you're in business. That means you've got a laying queen. That means that she's doing what she needs to do. All is right in the world. So at that point in time, what I recommend is just take a quick look around. I wouldn't even worry about doing a whole lot. Just do a quick look around, you know, do a quick check for hive beetles, look and see if you see any moths or anything hanging around, and I would close it back up. Because right now, she's doing what she needs to do in that 21-day cycle, you know, of workers, you know, from when they go from egg to a full, you know, full functional worker, that 3-week cycle. You're probably, I don't know, 3 days in at this point, you know, 1 to 3 days in. So you put it away, leave it alone. Technically, don't even need to do an inspection again for about 2 weeks. I still like to do them once a week if I can for those newer colonies. And it's not going to hurt, right? You go in once a week, you look around, see what's going on, gives you more experience, more opportunity to learn. So I would absolutely recommend doing one once a week. And then you can start to see that cycle go from egg to larva to capped brood, then seeing actual, I mean, I've held frames many, many times in my hand and watched a worker being born and coming out of the cell, which is always pretty cool. So that, like I mentioned before, you're going to want to pack everything up, put it back like you found it, put it all back together, close up shop. The only real difference between that inspection, you know, the inspection of the package bees and an inspection of a nucleus colony, is that what you're looking for now is your nuke should have probably 5 frames. And inside of that Langstroth hive, you're going to have, you know, at least eight, but probably 10 frames. What I'm hoping has happened is that those bees that were already in there that came with your nuke, I'm hoping that they've been drawing up comb. I'm hoping that you're going to see a lot of emerging brood. So after a week, you should see all those frames, those 3 frames of capped brood. Most of them should have been born. So you should have a really, really good population in the colony right now. But again, go back to that middle frame. Start there, pull that out, take a look, and look for, you know, has all that brood that was there the previous week been born? Are you seeing maybe some intermittent, you know, where it looks like where you see some capped brood, but some of the cells are open? That means probably very recently born bees have vacated the cell. Go look and look in some of those areas to see if the queen has come back through and laid eggs again. So the same kind of thing, you're looking, you want to find your queen. If you can't find your queen, well, even if you do, whether you find her or not, you still want to look and make sure that she's laying eggs and that the eggs are, you know, at this stage, you're not going to really know. But the ideal scenario is that you find a really good brood pattern. And what I mean by a good brood pattern is you have kind of this nice concentric circle or ovular kind of thing that fills the entire middle area of the frame. you know, all of the cells have capped brood in them. It's not, you know, spotty with some cells that have brood and some that don't. You know, it looks kind of disorganized. You want to see a nice kind of even and concentric cluster of brood. And that's something you'll look for down the road. But again, you're just looking to see, is the queen there? And do I have some eggs? Does everything look to be functional and operating? And are they drawing up new comb? Now, as time goes by, you don't want to be in the same situation that I am here, where I've got no more space for the bees and they start to swarm. A lot of people will say, oh, okay, well, I've got 7 of the frames are drawn up comb, and they still have 3 frames left, so I'm good. My general kind of rule and recommendation, if you're working with a Langstroth hive, is once you get about to that point, about 7 of your frames are drawn up, I would go ahead and drop another hive body on top of that. Now, this is going to go into a whole separate discussion that I'm not going to do right now. But what you can do if you want is you can drop a queen excluder on top and then put another deep on top of that. Or you can just put another deep on top of that and let the queen go wherever she thinks that she needs to go. Now, it's not uncommon at all for bees to like to move vertically. They like to move just like they would in a tree. I've had many colonies that have had the middle 8 frames or so drawn up with comb and nectar and honey, and they'll go up, but they'll leave those outer frames. They won't even touch them. I've had bees before that have made swarm cells and had an entire hive body above them that haven't even gone into. I'm going to take a quick break here, and what we're going to do is we're going to put this into I'm actually going to have to go to an episode 2 here. I was trying to get everything into one, but as always, I run my mouth too long and I have all these other ideas and things that I still need to get done. So I'm going to pull a quick break here. We'll get everything kind of get the notes in order here and get ready. I'm going to pick up where we left off and we're just going to keep rolling right along here. Stay tuned. We'll get a part 2 of this up here ASAP and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
I know how intimidating beekeeping can be, especially in those first couple of years, and not knowing what you need, what to do, or where to find help can be downright scary. That's why I created the AI-assisted Beekeeping for Newbies mobile app to be right there with you as you start your beekeeping journey. Loaded up with checklists, guides, and one of my favorites, a bunch of queen bee photos to help you get better at locating them during inspections. I created this app to provide you with a single source to help jumpstart your learning and make you a better beekeeper. Go to studio.com/beekeeper. That's studio.com/beekeeper to take advantage of a limited time 20% off launch special.